Romans chapter 1. We'll read one verse, verse 17, then I'm going to have you turn to a couple other places in your Bible. Let's all stand, please. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to preach on this subject, what it means to live by faith. What it means to live by faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Go to Galatians, deeper into the New Testament. Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. And we'll look at verse number 11. Give you a moment to get there. Galatians chapter number 3 and verse number 11. Again, we see this command. We see this phrase in the Bible. Galatians chapter 3 verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. You go a little bit deeper into your New Testament. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 38. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 38. And once again, we see this admonition. Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we dissect a very important concept in the Bible, Lord, as we scrutinize it, as we ponder it, as we meditate upon it, Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to be a people that know what it is to live by faith. But more than that, Lord, may we be a people who live by faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We read this morning three different times this statement, the just shall live by faith. This month I'm challenging Blessed Hope Baptist Church to climb our third mountain of 2015, the mountain of faith. In January we climbed together the mountain of prayer. February we scaled the mountain of evangelism. This month in March, let's ascend to the top of the mountain of, here it is, F-A-I-T-H, faith. May we pray 1,000 times this month, Lord, give me this mountain, give me this mountain. I want to ask you to think with me, an introduction here, and I want you to ponder this little phrase here. Let's consider this. Thrice repeated phrase, the just shall live by faith. Anytime God repeats something three times, I always tell you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it's for a reason. All members of the triune God are in agreement. The just shall live by faith. Allow me to make three observations in introduction. I want to make that plain. I don't want you to get excited when you hear the third point and think we're done. So in introduction, let me make three observations about this phrase, the just shall live by faith. Number one, this exhortation is for those who have been born again. The Bible says, the just, or the justified ones. One old-time preacher defined justification this way. To be justified is to be in God's eyes just as if you've never sinned. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about forgiveness. I'm talking about having your sins washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm talking about gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now my soul is free, and in my heart's a song, buried in the deepest sea. Yes, that's good enough for me. I shall live eternally. Praise God, my sins are gone. Before you can experience living by faith, you must come to Christ through saving faith. Now, no man's ever been born again without faith. Ephesians chapter 2, I'm going to read down to verse number 9, because I just love this whole portion of Scripture. One of those portions of Scripture I could read every Sunday. I just get excited when I read it. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's before you were saved. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, preacher, am I going to heaven? I don't know. Are you? Well, I'm trying to be real good. I'm working at it. No man ever got to heaven by working at it. The Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Any man, woman, or child who adopts the humanistic and satanic viewpoint of refusing to believe anything that you cannot see. That seems to be what I hear a lot. The more humanism has been introduced to our public school system, the more atheism has an influence on the curriculum. The more we get into this mentality, this pseudo-intellectualism that says, well, I refuse to believe anything that I cannot see or cannot be proved. If science cannot prove it, I refuse to believe it. Well, let me tell you something. If you adopt that philosophy, you will die and go to hell, because God insists that the only way to be saved is to be saved by faith. By faith. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. I taught our young people in our Sunday school class, and the series that we went through, and the time I was down there, we studied the invisible creation. And I told our young people, ask them this question: why does God choose to remain invisible to his creation? Think about that. Preacher, wouldn't it just settle everything if God just showed up and let everybody see him, and then, you know what, we could all believe and we could all know? And then it would be easy. Well, why does God insist on being the invisible God, the invisible creator? Let me give you the answer to that. As a matter of fact, our young people probably give you the answer to that. Why is it that God remains invisible to us, young people? What's the first reason? What's the second reason? There you go. All right, you got it. The first reason is this: if he did show up and we saw him in all of his glory, we'd die. We'd die. Brother Isaac, go back and flip the air on a little bit, all right? It's getting a little warm. Maybe I'm just getting a little worked up here, amen? We'd die. The Bible says no man could see God. Man, a man sees God, it's over. And so, but the second reason and the primary reason that God decides to remain invisible is this: he insists that if we're going to have a relationship with him, it has to be based on faith. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so if you're going to be saved, you're going to be saved by faith. Say, preacher, why do you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? By faith, I choose to believe it. Why do you really believe he lived a perfect sinless life? I choose to believe that by faith. The Bible teaches that. I choose to believe it. Do you believe he died for your sins? Yes, I believe that by faith. Can you prove it? No, I believe it by faith. Do you believe that he rose again the third day? Yes, by faith I believe that. Well, preacher, if you'd prove it, then I'd believe it. If I could prove it, then it wouldn't be faith. God will not allow you to go to heaven except by faith, for by grace are you saved through faith. So this exhortation is for those who've been born again. If you've been saved, God expects you to live by faith. Number two, this exhortation is given in the form of a command. Now look right up here and stay with me here. Watch this. Let's settle this issue once and for all. Listen, if God commands us to do something in the Bible, and we refuse to do it, then in God's eyes, we have committed an act of disobedience. And my friend, to disobey God is to sin. Now that means, as a Christian, if I'm not living by faith, I'm living in sin. Because the Bible three times said the just shall. Notice the word shall. Not, hey, if you feel like it, if it works out for you, hey, let me make you a suggestion. This is a command, an exhortation, an imperative. The just shall live by faith. Just shall live by faith. Not the preacher shall live by faith. Watch this. Every once in a while I hear somebody, not the missionaries shall live by faith. Well, you know, preacher's supposed to live by faith. Somebody said, well, preacher's supposed to live by faith. Huh. Where's that verse? Because three times I just read this, the just shall live by faith. So whatever you have in expectation of me living by faith, I can return that same expectation, expect you to live the same way. Well, missionaries are supposed to live by faith. My Bible says the just shall live by faith. We're all commanded to live by faith. Well, evangelists are supposed to live by faith. No, you're supposed to live by faith. I'm not required to live any more by faith than you're required to live by. We're all supposed to live by faith. You got that? So, number one, it's for those that's been born again. Number two, it's in the form of a command. Number three, this exhortation contains the greatest of all challenges, the challenge to live every day of your life by faith, preacher, if I'm to do that, then let's get to it. What does it mean to live by faith? Go to Hebrews, if you will, Hebrews chapter number 11. You should be close to it. We ended the last reading in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 11. Preacher, what does it mean to live by faith? Let's read these verses, just several verses in Hebrews chapter number 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What is faith, preacher? What is faith? What does it mean to live by faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now watch this. For but without faith it is, what's the next word? Impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. Now look, if you will, back at verse number 1. I want to give you a good definition of faith. Now faith is the substance of things, what's the next two words? Hope for. And the evidence of things not seen. Watch this. What is faith? Faith is the willingness to obey God in the present and trust God for the future. Now stay with me here. Faith is the willingness to obey God in the present and trust God in the future. What does that mean? That means God commanded Abel to do something. Abel didn't understand the long-term impact of that. He didn't understand all of the whys. But he said, I know what God wants me to do now, so I'm going to do what God told me to do now, and then I'm going to trust God for the future. You know what? Abraham was called by God. Noah was called by God. We are given examples in Hebrews of what faith is. Listen, here's the thing. If God in the Bible says do something, what he wants us to do, watch this, is just obey it. Yeah, but preacher, if I do this, what about down the road? And what about what's going to happen? No, you know what I do? I just obey God in the present, and then I trust him for the future. What is God commanding you to do? Then take the first step of obedience and trust God for the journey ahead. And by the way, the balance of this message is just going to be a testimony. Folks, listen to me. No better life is lived than a life that's lived by faith. But God commands you to do something, and then he doesn't explain all the way to the end how it's going to turn out. And you know what? You have to, by faith, decide whether or not you're going to obey God, even if you can see, preacher, but if I do this, this might happen. If I do this, where will I end up? That doesn't matter. Just do what God's telling you to do and let him take care of the future. You say, preacher, testify. All right, thank you for asking me to. I will. Young people, listen to me. You're not the first one or the last one that'll struggle with this matter of the will of God and surrendering your life to the will of God. You know what God's going to come to you and say? He's going to say this, give me your life. Give me your life. Well, wait a minute. Wait, well, Lord, let's talk about this. No, I want you to give me your life. Well, Lord, what are you going to do with it? I said, give me your life. You say, preacher, is he going to say that to every individual? Well, if you have a King James Holy Bible, you know that the Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. So if you're saved, he's talking to you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so you know what he does? He says this by the command in Romans chapter 12. He says this, give me your life. This is just isn't for young people. Come on, adults. Give me your life. Well, wait a minute, but what are you going to do? Give me your life. And so that's what he said. That's what he came to me and said as a young boy struggling with the will of God. But Lord, what are you going to ask me to do? How's it going to turn out? Give me your life. You know what faith is? Faith is obeying God in the present and trusting God for the future. God come to me, spoke to my heart in a powerful way. And you know what, buddy? Listen, you don't have to listen. You'll know when God comes to you like this. And there's going to be times if you haven't surrendered fully to the will of God and the will of God for your future, there's going to be time after time that he comes during the invitation, during a preaching service, sometimes in the quietness of your room, in the quietness of your heart, and say, give me your life. And what we want is we want an explanation of what the future is going to hold. Well, wait a minute, preacher, what if I give God my life and things don't turn out the way I want it to? Give me your life. But I might end up on a mission field. Give me your life. But well, wait a minute. You mean I don't get any control? I don't get any say? Give me your life. Give me your life. That's what he says. You know what faith is? Faith walks down to an altar and says, God, it's yours. God, you know what? My plans don't mean anything anymore. Well, what I want doesn't mean anything anymore. Well, my wishes don't mean anything anymore. Lord, you know what? Whatever you have for me, I trust you. I'm giving you everything. Lock, stock, and barrel, you got all of me. Lord, it's yours to command. That's faith. That's faith. You see, God's going to come to you, and he's going to command you to do some things. And you know what? Faith obeys in that present moment and then trusts God for the future. I remember in a special meeting at Tennessee Temple University, back in the days when they had the winter retreats, and I was in the youth group, and a couple messages were preached on soul winning, and then a great message on the crucifixion of Christ, and God came to me powerfully in an invitation as a young man, tender to the voice of God, and said, I want you to spend your life trying to win people to Christ. And I began to have that discussion with the Lord. Lord, I don't really have the... I want you to spend your life trying to win men to Christ. Listen, I'm not talking about a call to preach yet. I'm talking about just getting broken over this matter of soul winning. Hey, did you climb that mountain or did you just kind of bypass it last month? Well, preacher, you don't understand. I don't have a personality for that. I want you to spend your life winning souls to Christ. They're seeking the lost. I want you to make that the priority of your life. Yeah, but Lord, no. Obey me. Obey me. But Lord, I don't know how that's going to work out. Obey me. But Lord, I don't even know how to do it. Obey me. But I don't have the personality for it. Obey me. And you know what? I was confronted with a decision. And you know what I did? I decided to live by faith. I didn't know how to win a soul, and yet I went down and surrendered to win a soul. I didn't have the personality to win people to Christ, and yet I went down and told God I'd start doing it. You say, preacher, how does that work out? I'll tell you how it works out. It works out because God takes that decision, sees that faith, and he builds on that faith. Now, what I'm saying is this. We all want God to show us the whole rest of the road before we're willing to make a decision. Baptist people are famous for this. Well, explain to me all the ramifications all into the next and third and fifth generations about, no, just obey God. Just obey God. He came to me one day. God came to me and said, I want you to go to Bible college. I want you to go to Bible college. And I knew that. I was impressed upon it. Before my dad ever brought it up for anybody, I knew I was supposed to go at least a year to Bible college. And so I began the discussion with the Lord. Well, wait a minute. How long? I just want you to go to Bible college. Yeah, but Lord, what do I make? I just want you to go to Bible college. But which one? Well, I just want you to go to Bible college. Okay, right then, folks, you know what you do? You make a decision for the present, and you trust God for the future. Are you listening to me? How many people have missed the will of God simply because they won't surrender to anything until God reveals everything? And you know what? God will never reveal anything until you surrender everything. I hope someone wrote that down. That was good, wasn't it? It just kind of came out. Is that on tape? Because I don't even know what I said. I don't even know if it was right. But come on. Yeah, God, show me everything. He said, no, I'm not going to show you anything. I'm going to tell you to do something. Well, Lord, if you show me everything, no, you give everything and then I'll show you some things. But if you're not willing to give everything, then listen, young lady, I don't know who you are. You say, preacher, nobody in this church even hardly knows me, and I'm sitting over here in the corner somewhere, and you know what, people don't know my name, and I'm not very important, and I'm not even sure about this whole Christianity thing. Listen to me. God put you on this planet for a reason, and you are made in the image of God, and God formed you while you were in your mother's womb, and there's no accidents, there's no uh-ohs. You know, you may be a young man. Preacher, is that, yes, God made you for something, and he wants to show that to you, but you know what, you have to step out by faith. By faith, you've got to step out. Came a day in my life when God came and said, surrender your life to preach the gospel. Oh, you don't think I had some things to talk to God about? Well, what do you mean by that? I mean, surrender your life to preach the gospel. Well, you're talking about missionary event. I said, surrender your life to preach the gospel. I said, surrender your life to preach the gospel. See, we want it all laid out. God says, obey. If you know in the present what God is telling you to do, you do it. And well, preacher, what about the future? That's where faith comes in. I thought to myself as I wrestled about 24 hours, I wrestled with God over this call to preach. About 24 hours, I wrestled with God. Just 24 hours. I'm going to tell you something. I threw up everything I could throw up at him. And you know, all I heard was this. No long-term forecast of anything. Just this, over and over again. Surrender to preach the gospel. I couldn't have imagined where that journey was going to take me. I mean, in the race, I take myself back to that moment. I couldn't even imagine what the road was going to be ahead. But young people, listen to me. It's always greater than you could have imagined. It's more, listen, there's nothing you can do with your life that's more exciting, better, and more blessed than the will of Almighty God. So you just obey God. I don't know what it is. It may not be a call to preach. It may be a call to go to Bible college. It may not be some of the things that God did in my life. But what I'm saying is this, if God tells you to do it, then do it. Obey God. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you read the Bible with that attitude. One of the reasons that I stopped and said what I said, I'm going to repeat it again. Now let's settle this issue once and for all. If God commands us to do something in the Bible and we refuse to do it, then in God's eyes we've committed an act of disobedience, and my friend, to disobey God is sin unto him. Why? Because the just shall live by faith. It's a great day in your life when you decide you're going to read this book, and whether you understand it or not, and whether you agree with it or not, you just decide you're going to obey it because God said it. And the minute you start obeying what God's word clearly says, it's amazing how God begins. Listen, you know what that's called? It's called living by faith. Lord, I don't understand, but if you say it, we're going to do it. If it's in the Bible, we're going to do it. You know what? We're going to trust you for the future. And so all through your life, God's going to come to you. God came to me after I graduated from Bible college and said, I want you to start a church. I mean, if it had been a verbal voice, it wouldn't have been any more plain. I've never questioned it. I know God wanted us to do it. And I mean, God put the fire of God in my heart and a burning desire in my heart. And you know what we did? Me and my wife, through much sacrifice, more on her part than my part, but more much sacrifice, you know what we did? We obeyed the Lord. We obeyed the Lord. There came a time in my life when God said, you know what? I want you to go help your daddy at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'd prayed about it. I got direct leading on it. Dad had offered me a position. I prayed about it. At first, I wasn't sure. And I mean, just with clarity, God said, you go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you put your life into that ministry and you help your dad in that ministry. And you know what I did? You know what I did? I didn't sit down and say, well, Dad, what would you have me do? What are my responsibilities going to be? What's my title going to be? Well, how much am I going to get paid? Do I get health insurance? Do I get an office? Do I get? And that's what you got with young people today. Come on now. They want everything. They want it all laid out. They want every question asked. What did God tell you to do? Do it. But I don't know how it's going to work out. Do it. That's the faith part. That's the faith part. Can I say this? That's what makes it an adventure. That's what makes it fun. Just obey God. Just do what God tells you to do. There came a point in time when my dad health was declining, and I will tell you this, even before that, several years, I was 11 years assistant pastor here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Probably about the time I hit about the seventh year of being assistant pastor here, I really began to struggle. Opportunities were coming, invitations were coming, doors were opening. I had opportunities, more than one, to go other places. I was offered pastorates. Brother Schindler, matter of fact, he's going to be with us, sat down with me about that time of my life, wanted me to come and be president of the Bible college that he was running at that time out in Pennsylvania. And, you know, as a young man, you begin to struggle with these things. And I needed to know, listen, all that mattered at that point was this. Watch this. What does God want me to do? Okay, folks, watch this. Not every open door means that you're supposed to go. Come on now. I mean, even good opportunities aren't necessarily the will of God. And there would have been nothing wrong if it had been the will of God. If God would have told me, go to Pennsylvania, I'd have went to Pennsylvania. Listen, folks, I decided a long time ago. I mean, I settled there as a 17-year-old boy on my knees in an altar right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Whatever God says to do, I'm going to go do it. I mean, I just settled it. But I had all of these things. And in a short period of time, there was multiple opportunities, and I began to think about it and question it, and I didn't want to miss the will of God. I think you ought to be careful not just refusing to consider anything. So I got away and spent some time. I mean, sequestered myself away and spent some time in prayer. and probably over the course of about 60 days, just seeking God's face. And I'm going to tell you, at the end of that time of prayer and much fasting, I settled something that was as clear to me as my salvation. That's this. My God in heaven said, Jerry, there's a lot of opportunities and a lot of things you could do, but I want you to stay right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and you help your dad to the finish line. Amen. And then we'll talk about after that what you're supposed to do. And I settled it. A week later, I went to a camp. I've never told anybody this story. A week later, I went to a camp. I settled in it crystal clear. A week later, I went to a camp. Me and another guy was preaching together. It's probably I'd been here about 7 years at that time. He walked up to me and he said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. And this is exactly almost word for word what he said. He points over his briefcase and he said, Brother Ross, right there in my briefcase, I've got an offer for a pastorate. And he began to run through the numbers. And I mean, it was a very lucrative position in a large city and a large congregation. He told me, you'll start at $100,000 a year. You'll have an expense account, a vehicle. And he said, they wanted me to come. I've declined it. They asked me to recommend somebody. God brought two preachers to mind. You first, so-and-so second. I know I'm supposed to ask you. And without any hesitation, I looked at him and said, about a week ago, me and God settled this. You go to that second man because this isn't God's will for my life. This is God's will for somebody else's life. I need to get my dad to the finish line. Are you listening to me, people? I'm talking about those of you who want to chase every whim. I mean, the grass looks a little greener on the other side, so you're going to run there and run here and run there and run here. Why don't you settle in on the will of God? Why don't you, listen, we're like Balaam. You know, we go and ask God, and God says, don't go. And so we go ask him again. God says, go. And then we get on the donkey, and the angel of the Lord comes with a sword. And then, well, you told me to go. Well, you know what? God got tired of you questioning him. We're just going to aggravate God into an answer and make him mad. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And so you settle it. You settle it. Everybody assume Pastor Ross gets done at the pulpit of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, when he chooses to retire, Pastor Jerry would step in and take the position. But let me tell you something, folks. That decision wasn't easily made on this side of the fence. Because you know what I had to determine? What is the will of God? What is the will of God? I've always offered, I would tell you this, I say it on a regular basis to God. I've got a heart for the mission field. I do. I think God knows that. I think because of that, it drives a lot of what we do, both in the States here and abroad. But I've always said that. I've always said, God, if you ever want me to go to mission field, I'll go. And I mean that with all of my heart, without hesitation. And so I thought maybe when Dad got to the point where he'd ready to retire, maybe I'd go to the mission field. But after praying about it and fasting and considering God's will, you know what God said? I want you to pastor Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, folks, listen. I could have asked God 1,000 questions, but you know all I needed to know was, what do you want me to do now in the present, and I'll trust you for the future? Now, I'm saying all this for a reason. You say, preacher, is living by faith just, you're talking about big milestone things? No, it's every day. It's every day. It's not always the call to preach or decision to go to a Bible college or decision to take a church or not take a church. It's not always that. You know what it is for me as a pastor? It's day by day, week by week, year by year. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to lead this church? Hey, we're climbing 12 mountains. You know why? Because last December, God broke my heart over this thing, and I mean in a glory hallelujah fit in my office with great clarity, God said, this is what I want you to lead Blessed Hope Baptist Church to do in 2015, and you know what? The just shall live by faith. So that's why we're doing it. A year ago, while I was praying over our young people, God said, you need to take them on a missions trip. I looked into going to Mexico and taking our kids to Mexico. God shut that door. I said, God, he wouldn't let this thing go. And so I said, God, what do you want me to do? And I was reading our prayer letters, and God said, you know what? Maybe you ought to go take them out to see Brother Andy Magnarella. And you know what, folks, listen to me. God, like, listen, parents, let me help you with this. God told your pastor to take your kids to the Hopi Indian Reservation. Just like God told me to take your kids on a trip this week. And God told me to take them to Rhode Island next fall. Okay? I mean, God told me to do that. That's why it's on the calendar. I don't just walk in my office and say, okay, let's see. I'll put 50 things on the wall and throw darts. And just The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. You say, preacher, well, what about our say? What about my opinion? What about my schedule? Well, I think that's why the Bible says obey them and have them rule over you and submit to them. I don't ask you for 100 things, 1,000 things. I put a few things on the schedule and say, please, when I pull parents together and look in the eyeball, whether you know it or not, I'm watching for your kids' souls. And I'm fighting for some of their souls right now. And I need you to fight with me for your kids' souls. Living by faith. Say, preacher, you heard from God lately? Yeah. Been bugging me for about a year about starting a church near Princeton, Indiana. Me and brother Don Mowry about 6-8 months ago. I can't remember. 3 or 4 months ago, 10 years ago. I can't remember. I told him, God won't let me go on this thing. He said, let's drive down. I know where there's a church building for sale. I said, man, let's go look at it. It wasn't for sale. It was for sale, but they'd already sold it. Some guy bought it and turned it into some kind of a shop or something. Well, that broke my heart. Walk into a building where people used to gather and pray and gospel was preached and souls was saved and guys turned it into a shop. And broke my heart. We looked at some other buildings. Gentlemen, the building we stopped and looked at, brother, some of you pointed out, Brother Josh pointed out there, me and Brother Don, I couldn't remember who was with me, Brother Don Marmy. We fought our way through the weeds last fall, last summer. You say, what's God doing? He's telling me to go do something here. Get Blessed Old Baptist Church, let's get this done. You know what he did, Brother Jonathan Reiser's heart? He told him, go start a church. You're the man. You're the one to do it. Say, what are you doing? Say, preacher, but you need to lay all this out. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Come on, Mom. Do you think Dad saw the end of the road? When God was, he was walking around the backyard in Brazil, Indiana, in the farm. You think my dad saw the end of the road when he's out there in the middle of the night screaming up to heaven, what do you want? But you know what? God told him what he wanted. I want you to preach. I want you to go down, take a Providence Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana. And after that ended, I want you to start the Blessed Oak Baptist Church. You think he saw the end of it? But what if he hadn't stepped out by faith? I want you to take everything I've shared with you and bring it down into your life. I understand that your life's different than mine. I understand that the way you minister and your realm of ministry is different than mine, but could you listen to what your preacher says? Folks, listen to me. Live by faith. What does that mean? That means, God, what do you want me to do now? And as soon as he tells you what he wants you to do now, then you trust him for the future. Young people, some of you, what's keeping you from walking to an altar and kneeling down right there and fully giving your life to God and turning everything over to him is fear. But God has not given us the spirit of fear. Fear's not coming from God. What's holding you back is because, you know what? The honest truth is, you're scared of what God may want you to do, but I promise you this, he will not reveal his will until you're willing to make that trip and kneel and say, anything, God, you want me to do, I'll do. Come on, it's hard to let go of the steering wheel, isn't it? It's hard to get off the throne of your own heart. It's hard to give up being the one that gets to make the final decisions about everything. But when you do that, whether you're in the ministry or whether you're a lay person, it's a good way to live. What's God want you to do? Watch this. What does God want you to do today? If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can tell you what he wants you to do. He wants you to be saved. Yeah, but preacher, how am I going to? Don't worry about that. He wants you to be saved. But I don't think I can. He wants you to be saved. But preacher, you don't understand. How is this going to change? He wants you to be saved. The just shall live by faith. Do what God has told you to do now and let him take care of the future. Trust him for the future. Christian, what does God want you to do? We're starting a whole bunch of visitation ministries around here. Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I'm just not that kind of person. Neither was I when I started. The just shall live by faith. Is God breaking your heart over these things? Is God speaking to your heart about winning souls? Is God speaking to your heart about helping in a ministry like the bus ministry? Is God talking to you about maybe helping in a nursing home service? Is God speaking to your heart? Listen, are you listening to me? What is God telling you to do today? You don't have to understand the future. Trust Him. That's where faith comes in. The just shall live by faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, may we be a people of faith. May we be a people of faith. Lord, may we be people that are obedient, quick to obey. Lord, may we not need explanation. May we not need to see it all. Lord, that which is without faith is sin, the Bible says. May we not be people that live in sin. May we trust you, dear God, please. The just shall live by faith. If there's someone here this morning, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. There's someone here this morning. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. I got good news for you. God loves you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life, everlasting life. The just shall live by faith. If you're here today, you have to experience saving faith before you can experience living faith. God loves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. If you're willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, knowing that you're a sinner, listen to God, listen to His Spirit right now, knowing that you're a sinner, being convicted of that sin, being drawn by the Father, understanding the gospel, Jesus died for you, was buried and rose again, you can receive the gift of eternal life. Christians, I don't know what God's doing in your life. Oh, but don't miss out living your life by sight. We're not to live by sight. We're to live by faith. What is it that the Lord wants you to do today? Lord, bless this time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's